I'm speaking today with Gregory Beyer, who is Director of Percussion Studies at Northern Illinois University, a Fulbright scholar, composer, percussionist, and educator. Greg specializes in a very unique Brazilian instrument called the berimbau and will be at UT Knoxville with his group Projeto Arco Musical on Monday, October 28th, to lead some workshops and to give a performance. It's wonderful to talk to you today, Gregory. Thanks so much for taking time to chat.
Oh, it's wonderful to talk to you too, Melanie. I'm really happy to be here and to share.
Well, to begin with, tell us about the berimbau. It is a percussion instrument or is it a stringed instrument?
It's both. It's something of a hybrid instrument. It's a one-stringed monochord that is percussed to perform it. So you play it with a stick, you stop it with a stone, or in our case, a very heavy piece of brass. And by stopping, I mean you get different notes out of the instrument using that implement. But to actually get the instrument to sound, the tradition uses a stick. And the instrument is one member of a really large family of instruments that are simply known as musical bows. They hail from sub-Saharan Africa. In South Africa, or in Southern Africa in general, the musical bow is the predominant string instrument. And so the instrument in Africa goes by many, many different names. The Zulu call it the Umakwiani. The Xhosa people in the Eastern Cape call it the Uwadi. In Mozambique, it's called the Shitende. In Angola, in the south, it's known as the Mbulumbumba. In the north, it's known as the Ungu. And we believe that the Ungu is actually the closest relative to the berimbau in Brazil. That sort of cultural connection to Angola in Brazil is really, really important. The first Africans that were brought through the unfortunate reality of the transatlantic slave trade were brought predominantly from the region of Angola, and that's because of the Portuguese colonization process that happened on both sides of the Atlantic. So in Brazil, the musical bow coalesced around a similar import from Africa, a body game that also goes by many names, but in Brazil is most popularly known as capoeira. And capoeira was found all over Brazil, but particularly in Rio de Janeiro and in Salvador, in the capitals of the states of Rio de Janeiro and Bahia. But it took on different flavors in both of those cities. In the north, in Salvador, it became really closely connected to the musical bow that we now call the berimbau. And it was really a kind of a synergism of fate that really allowed both of those African cultural symbols, the berimbau and the practice of capoeira, to thrive. Because in Rio, capoeira was largely outlawed, and oftentimes capoeiristas were thrown in prison, either never to be seen again or, you know, to be seriously abused. Whereas in Salvador, under the guise of it being a musical event or a dance, the people practicing capoeira there were able to sort of cloak their body game as a musical event, and they did this through the vehicle of the berimbau. And Kay Schaefer, an ethnomusicologist who's really well considered in the capoeira community, posited that if it weren't for that synergism, we would know neither capoeira nor the berimbau today. In other words, it's the coming together of those two cultural symbols that really allowed them both to thrive, and now we know them all over the world. They go hand in hand.
So tell me, how did you come to discover this instrument that we don't see or hear very often here in the United States?
Well, I was studying percussion in New York City at the Manhattan School of Music, and this was in the late 90s. So at that time, there was this wonderful brick and mortar shop on Little Brazil Street that was called Drummer's World. And it was a mecca for percussionists and drummers from all over the world to congregate and meet and hang out and trade ideas and trade and sell instruments. It was equal parts drum shop and, you know, United Nations of percussion, if you will. Mm-hmm. And one day I was in there and I was just minding my own business, you know, picking up some stuff from my drum set. And I heard this amazing sound coming from the back of the shop, and it was someone playing the berimbau extremely virtuosically. So I went back, fell in love, was really mesmerized by what I was hearing, struck up a conversation with this gentleman, and he said, listen, you know, if you really like what you're hearing, there's an album you should go check out. It's Saudades by Naná Vasconcelos. And at that time, you know, there were still record stores in the town. Tower Records was the preeminent record shop. It was within walking distance of Drummer's World. So I went over to Tower Records, found the album, went home, put it on my stereo, and just absolutely fell in love with the sound of it. sort of love at first listen. Mm-hmm. Then I started transcribing what I was hearing, even though I didn't own a berimbau, I didn't really know how to play it, but I was kind of captivated by the sound world. And lo and behold, within 10 days, I got a phone call from this Brazilian singer-songwriter that I had already known and had played some gigs, parties and stuff. And he called me up. He's like, Greg, I just got back from Brazil. I was on vacation with my family. We were there for 3 weeks. It was really lovely. You got to come over. We've got some gigs coming up. You got to rehearse. Oh, by the way, I brought you something back. So I drove up to his house. He was sort of intrigued by this notion that he had brought me back something from Brazil. And sure enough, what he brought me back was nothing other than a berimbau. And all of this happened within, you know, within just a short span of time that it felt like much more than coincidence. It felt like a synchronicity.
It was fate.
Yeah, it really felt like that. And I have to say that I have just been following the muse of the berimbau now for the last 2 decades. And I can't even count on all my fingers the number of times that I've had similar synchronicities occur that just tell me that this is the right direction to be going. And, there's something about the instrument. There's something about it that feels like a calling. And so I'm really delighted that, you know, 2 decades later, we've created this nonprofit organization, Arco Musical, to spread the joy of the berimbau. That mission is supported in a number of arenas. We have programs and performance, obviously. We'll be at UT Knoxville next Monday night performing in the School of Music. Really looking forward to that performance, sharing with your community. But we also compose. You'll hear a number of my pieces. You'll hear pieces by Alexis Lamb, another one of our members. She's a wonderful composer who's actually doing her graduate studies in composition at Yale University right now. Mm-hmm. We have a piece called Roda. Roda is a Portuguese word that means circle or wheel, and it's also a capoeira reference, and it's written by our friend in New York City, Elliot Cole. His piece was supported by a major grant from Chamber Music America. We're proud members of that national organization. We also have a brand new piece that's just incredible. It's a half an hour long, and at Knoxville, it will be only our second public performance. We premiered the piece last Thursday in Chicago here at Constellation. And it's by jazz bass composer Matt Ullery. It's a remarkable work. It's in 6 movements. It runs nonstop. It's called Emigre and Exile. And it kind of imagines the journey of the musical bow from Africa to Brazil to the rest of the world in musical terms. It's a really striking piece of music. We can't wait to play it for all of you next Monday night.
So how many people are in Projeto Arco Musical?
Well, there are six people that play in the ensemble. Alexis, at this point, because she's doing her graduate work out east, has taken temporary leave from the group so that we have a regular roster. So Tony Cable is our newest member of the group. But it's Tony, myself, Ethan Martin, Kyle Flens, Rachel Taylor, and Daniel Eastwood. We'll be the 6 people visiting UT Knoxville Monday and Tuesday next week. I should say, in addition to performing, we'll also be visiting several classes. We'll be teaching percussion workshops and berimbau and capoeira workshops on Tuesday in the School of Music. And on Monday, we'll be visiting a couple of Portuguese language classes.
Traditionally speaking, is the berimbau played with other instruments, or is it strictly used as a solo instrument?
In the tradition of capoeira, there is a battery of percussion instruments that get played. Specifically, in the most traditional format of capoeira, there's a battery of 8 percussionists that play. There are 3 berimbaus that sit in the center of that battery, and their sizes range. The lowest instrument with the largest gourd is called the gunga. It's sometimes referred to as the behaboy. The middle instrument is logically called the medio, and the smallest instrument is called the viola. And there's a really beautiful dialogue between those 3 instruments that happens. So those 3 instruments are accompanied by 5 percussion instruments, 2 tambourine-like instruments that are called pandeiro, 1 scraper that's called heku heku. That's an onomatopoeic name. It literally says heku heku. There's a double bell that's sometimes used. Historically, the recordings used a metal bell, but more recently, a lot of capoeiristas have been sort of making a switch to a tree nut of 2 different sizes, and that's called an agogo. And finally, last but certainly not least, the heartbeat instrument, which is a large barrel drum that's called an atabaque. It looks not unlike a conga drum or a tumbadora, but it comes from a slightly different tradition. It's rope tensioned in the most traditional sense and has a lower tone. And it really provides the heartbeat for the ostinati that come together to create the accompanimental music to the song lexicon of capoeira, which is a vast, vast song tradition of call and response singing. So in that tradition, it's accompanied by those instruments. In other traditions, Nanavas Concelos, who I mentioned earlier, he pioneered the instrument as a solo instrument. In fact, that album that I mentioned, Saudades, begins with a concerto for Birnbaum and String Orchestra that he co-composed with the famous composer, pianist, guitarist from Brazil, Egberto Gismonti. And that piece is a really powerful virtuosic statement for a solo Birnbaum player. And so what we've been doing in Arca Musical then is taking the virtuosic approach of Nanavas Concelos and cross-fertilizing that with a couple of different influences, the music of capoeira, the bow traditions that we know from Southern Africa, the Shitende in particular, and the Umakwiani. These instruments from South Africa and Mozambique have had a pretty important impact on my creative work with the Birnbaum insofar as the gourd position on the instrument is really variable for us. Basically, we take the gourd on the instrument, which is the resonating cavity for the instrument, and we move it up and down along the length of the instrument, not during performance, but we fix the gourd at different lengths along different bows. And so we basically have a cohort of instruments in which when the six of us play, it's sort of like a meta guitar. You know, there are six of us, there are six strings, and it's sort of like six people playing one guitar, if you will. And so we've created a real special, unique form of chamber music using these musical bows in this melodic and harmonic and rhythmic sense.
Well, I look forward to hearing these instruments on Monday night. Percussionist, composer, and educator Gregory Beyer, thank you so much for talking with me.
Melanie, it's really been a pleasure. Thank you so much for the opportunity to share.
Projeto Arco Musical, a Birnbaum ensemble, is performing in Knoxville on Monday, October 28th at 8 p.m. The concert is presented in Powell Recital Hall, located in the Natalie Haslam Music Center here on the UT campus. More information is available online at arcomusical.com or at music.utk.edu/events.